Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hey, welcome. I'm Dawn Westmoreland, host of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Today, I have an HR person who's been serving in the profession for over 20 years, and he operates a consulting firm specializing in human resources, leadership development, and career transitions consulting called HR Evolution LLC. Welcome, Ryan McShane.
Thank you so much, Dawn. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, Ryan, we're both HR people. And some organizations and companies don't really understand what HR is about. So talk about what you're doing today in your own company.
Sure. So, you know, it's no mistake that the name of my company is HR Evolution, because it's a wink and a nod to the fact that HR as a role has to really evolve to be the role that it needs to be, and the workforce and leadership dynamic and culture calls for today. We have to shift from a very traditional model of human resource management and leadership to one that I refer to as a high performance model, or a much more conscious leadership model. And that's really what I purport today. What we have is a history of operating from the industrial era, top-down, command and control, hierarchical type of management system of do what I tell you because I'm your boss. And that type of blind obedience may have worked many, many years ago in the military and factory-style environments. But, you know, we can open our eyes and quickly see that those aren't the environments in which we operate and work any longer. We're an information or a knowledge-based society. So from that standpoint, that implies a whole different realm of management and motivation and performance. And so from that standpoint, I'm aiding people to make that shift, both within themselves as well as culturally across the organization, to a high-performance, conscious leadership model.
Wow, and I know you're staying busy. And we've talked before, and I know you're out there doing good things. And what's the difference between the work you do and an HR person that works for a company or an organization, Ryan?
So typically, the internal human resources professional, depending on the size of the company, their particular role within the company, they're either a specialist or a generalist. A specialist might be a recruiter or a benefits manager or a compensation analyst. A generalist may take care of all of those functions, really, and do a lot of personnel administrative type of work. What I'm more focused on is the strategic aspect of how we are going to manage talent within the workforce. And so that really takes on a whole different perspective of how can we align the vision, mission, and purpose of an organization with the talent that comes into the door so that we make sure that we're always pushing forward progress towards the ultimate vision that the company has for itself. So while human resources has a level of administrative work associated with it in terms of processing employees, new hires within the organization, what I'm focused on is more the strategic level of making sure that there's quality alignment across the entire organization from leadership to frontline, between the duties and the reporting structure, and making sure that people have a good awareness of how their individual roles impact the overall purpose of the organization, which has had a great deal of impact in terms of engagement. All too often, what happens in a highly compartmentalized environment is an employee does not see the benefit or the value of what they're doing and the impact thereof. And so as a result of that, the morale naturally slips, and the person is just there going through the motions, basically collecting a paycheck. And that's about it, doing the minimal as possible, just enough not to get in trouble. And that lack of engagement is something that we're seeing across the entire nation right now. And I really point to the fact that we have an incongruency between our workforce cultures and what we as people really need and desire to be fully healthy in our work environments.
Yeah, you said that very well, because we do have a lot of issues. We have a lot of bullying. We have a lot of discrimination. So, you know, I was reading your bio. How do you create high performance leaders in organizations today? How do you do that, Ryan?
So it starts with the individual. Okay. And so what I mean by that is leaders have more impact on the culture than any other. So the culture is impacted from leader down. And so what we try to do is work with the leadership to unearth their view of what it is to be a leader within this organization. And by understanding what their values, assumptions, beliefs, and expectations are around the role of leadership, then we can start to formulate a model that enables us to communicate that leadership perspective across the entire workforce so that we start to garner buy-in for the direction that we're going. I think people want to see that we're not just going through the motions, that we're not just performing perfunctory roles, that we're actually accomplishing something, that we're creating something much bigger than us. And that innate desire to be a part of a group and be a part of something that is bigger than us needs to really be felt and experienced in the work environment. And I think that's been lost to a great extent. I think there's a lot of small nonprofits and different social justice type of organizations that really have a good handle on this. But I would say by and large, a lot of organizations have lost their way in terms of being solely focused on the profit. And as a result of that, they consequently forget who earns that profit for them. And so they're compromising the relationship of their employees.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, what is a typical day for you? What's it like?
That's a great question. What I typically do is I get up in the morning. I read a couple things to center me for the day so that I have a positive outlook. And that I'm very focused on what I want to do. I typically have a checklist that I work by. I am one of those guys that I derive a great deal of satisfaction putting a check mark next to something that I've completed. And that keeps me motivated throughout the day. So I'm working typically through my checklist. What I do on the side, in addition to the consulting, is also support people in career transition, as you had mentioned. So I am working with clients to develop their resumes, their LinkedIn profiles, and going through interview skills development and career coaching with them. So typically, after I finish my morning routine, I'm either sitting down with one of my clients on the phone, going through a coaching session or a need analysis session with them, or working through some details associated with branding and marketing them. Or I may be preparing a training for a large association. So I typically go to Society of Human Resource Management conferences and different association conferences. And I'll speak on leadership topics. Another hot topic that I thoroughly enjoy is the four generations in the workforce and how to attract the millennial generation. That's a topic that has a lot of charge and energy to it.
It does.
There's so much,
It
so
does, for
much
sure.
stereotyping out there that it's a lot of fun to really have a dialogue around that. And speaking of dialogue, that's another one of my hot topics that I like to illustrate for companies. Dialogue is a methodology and a practice of communicating in a circle dynamic, whereby we follow certain practices and listening, suspending, respecting, and then finally voicing. And that process is very different from what we typically experience in a work environment, in a business meeting. And so what this does is it enables people to suspend their judgment, suspend their ego, and suspend their positional power for a moment to be able to really listen at a deeper level as to what that person is saying and have conversation around some charged topics in the workforce, but do it in a safe environment. And that's been really powerful and really has moved a lot of people a great deal when they're considering how do we shift our culture. And it starts with the leadership of having some brutally honest conversations with themselves.
Yeah. Do you find it hard to get into companies? Because sometimes you get these real stubborn leaders that think they know what's best. And you mentioned earlier, Ryan, about, it's the bottom line, it's the profit. Do you find it hard to get in to be able to give advice, coaching, consulting?
I do. There's oftentimes that issue. And, that's the big challenge. The people that need us the most are the ones that may be the most resistant because of that ego factor that you're talking about. They can handle it. They know what they're doing. As you had said, they don't want to take the foot off the gas pedal to stand back and say, is running in this direction really the right in the best interest of the company, or should I stand back and look at what I'm doing, and is this the best allocation of my time, energy, and resources? And that's what we help companies do. So if they don't have the desire to take their foot off the gas pedal, then it's going to be difficult to reach them. There's no question about that. And that's why I typically try to appeal to through organizations and associations that typically offer this type of education to begin with. It's a place where people are already looking for that information and maybe more open to hearing it from that information. In addition to that, I often remark that while people say baseball is our favorite pastime, I think complaining about work is our second favorite pastime. And so,
Oh, goodness.
it's in that same thinking that sometimes you can really hit into the pain points that people continue to express. And if I can try to reach some of those pain points in my articles, I enjoy writing. And so I submit these articles on LinkedIn and Facebook and through my blog and on my website and so forth. And sometimes those articles really resonate with people. And as a result of, maybe they didn't hear it from a presentation, but maybe they sat down and wanted to read into this article, and that has moved them enough to pick up the phone and reach out and say, hey, let's have a conversation.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you definitely reached out to them and they saw the value in you. So I know one thing about you. You were one of the past presidents for the largest local SHRM, which is Society Human Resource Management, and that was in the state of Maryland. What did you do when you were with SHRM? What was your role as a president?
So we had a rather large sized board, and fortunately we had an executive, a full-time executive director that we worked with on a regular basis. So a big focus of mine during my presidency and tenure as a president was to establish more structure in place and make sure that there was greater open dialogue and communication across the board. I think it happens all too often within boards that we think we know what direction to go in, but after so many cycles of new people within roles, the roles have changed, they've evolved, and as a result, people start to lose a grip of as to what exactly do I need to be doing at what point in time. So we created functional job descriptions across the board, which entailed accountability measures. And as you know from might know from working with volunteer boards, and that's what the CHRA Association volunteer board members were, just that, volunteers. So you're trying to convince people without any kind of financial hold over them. So as a result of that, I had to really operate from a servant leadership mentality. And that's something I subscribe to anyway, is I was continuously impressing upon my board members that if we're not addressing what's in it for you as a board member and what you're trying to get out of this, then I want to hear back from you. As your president, I want to make sure that that's a part of your experience, that you're not only representing CHRA within your role, but you're learning and you're growing through this experience too. Mm-hmm. So we try to instill that within every one of our meetings. So providing some more structure, so making sure that my board members had an opportunity to grow and making sure that they had an opportunity to really see the connection to what their distinct role was and how that advanced the association in general. And so, you know, I was very proud of the fact that it was under my watch that we crested the 1,000-point mark and haven't looked back since as an association.
Mm, wow. I'm proud for you, too. That's really exciting. So let me ask you, if I was a company, a leader, and I reached out to you, Ryan, I said, hey, I've got a problem in my workplace. I've got a guy mm-hmm. or a girl that's just harassing other people. They're discriminating or they're bullying other people. And you came in. What kind of advice would you give to leadership or whoever you worked with in that company?
First and foremost, I would like to have an understanding of what their understanding is in terms of what is an appropriate work environment. What are their legal ramifications of not having an appropriate work environment? Just assess their education on this factor. How much do they know? What have they experienced up to this point? What is happening in the current environment? Do they have any allegations currently against them? Do they have any active lawsuits against them? So I want to know the playing ground mm-hmm. before I really walk in there and start offering any advice. So my job, number one, when I walk in there is information collection so that I know what kind of audience I'm dealing with and to what level I need to be digging in, so to speak. So once I have that information, a typical the response to that would be doing the investigation. So if they didn't have the prowess or the capability and skill internally to do an investigation, I would either do that for them or educate them and walk them through on how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and because both of us are HR people, we know today the average Equal Employment Opportunity Commission case, well, it's EEO case, is taking 4 to 5 years. 4 to 5 years, that's a long time. And that is without any kind of retaliation. And when I say retaliation, I'm talking about whoever filed, you know, the discrimination case and gets retaliated for filing that. Because we both know bullying in the workplace is not illegal. However, discrimination is. And then that's when people can file discrimination charges with the EEOC or a state level agency. So tell me, have you ever worked with somebody who did not take your instructions? How did that go?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, you're definitely touching on a hot point for me, because I, as a human resources professional, I'm out there purporting the appropriate type of behaviors and environments and providing this type of education, and only to have it experience it myself by my own bosses in a certain work environment. And that was definitely eye-opening and really a tough spot for human resources professionals today, because we are charged with upholding the standards of the workforce and being very compliant, making sure that people have a safe environment in which to work. And so when you're reporting to the exact people who are doing the bullying, you're in a very tough spot, because they're the one that's, ones that pay your paycheck. Mm-hmm. So my first initial response to that was an effort of coaching up. And what I mean by that is to really sit down and have some frank conversations and ask a lot of questions around their perspective on bullying, ask a lot of questions around harassment. How do they see it? Do they, see that there's any potential for that in that current work environment? What I delicately tried to tiptoe into was immediately shut down. No, it doesn't exist here. It doesn't happen. I don't believe it, were the responses. And that told me as much as I needed to know that this person knew darn well that it was occurring, but did not want to entertain it whatsoever. And so, in this person's mind, to unacknowledge it or not acknowledge it was paramount to it not existing. And so, that's the way the person wanted to deal with it. This person's personality was also very conflict avoidant. So, it didn't surprise me whatsoever that this person didn't want to deal with it. But being the HR person, being the one that had experienced some of the bullying as well as witnessing it in others, that I had no other recourse within the organization to deal with those matters. And so what I had to do was take those matters outside the organization. And within a larger system that was still tied to the organization in one way, shape, or form. And what I found was a kind of collusion, if you will, of denial of any kind of wrongdoing or bad behavior. And so when I took this information to another human resources professional, as a matter of fact, this human resources professional denied any kind of thing, negated hearing my story whatsoever. And as a result of that, shut me down and did not provide me an opportunity to express my concerns. And so that told me once again what I was dealing with, the kind of environment it was, and having experience with EEO, having no, knowing that that wasn't going to be a real viable course for me, and there wasn't sexual harassment per se or sexual discrimination per se that could be directly pointed out, but there was obvious bullying, there was obviously inappropriate behavior to the extent that individually identifiable health information was shared, and these are illegal things, but to try to prove them, I would have spent the better part of my time fighting a battle against City Hall, so to speak. And I chose, as a result of that, to go to another environment, an environment where I had a lot more say in what I was doing, and so that I could really purport the things that were in my heart and feel good about that I could help organizations run from a values-based standpoint as well as a profit-based standpoint. The two didn't have to negate one another. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't have a good, solid understanding of how they can apply. We've operated from this win-lose dynamic for so long that I'd like to offer that it's a false binary, that there's a million different ways to operate with a stakeholder orientation that benefits everyone that's involved in the employment life cycle. It just requires a different perspective and a different approach. And that's what I teach organizations to do. The approach that I take is something that's referred to as conscious capitalism. And the organizations that purport that they are conscious capitalism organizations are companies like Southwest Airlines and Whole Foods and Container Store, Starbucks. These are organizations that obviously don't have to go look for talent. Talent is beating down their door. And so you can see that by the very fact that they operate themselves based on a values base, they're very employee centric in terms of their business model, that that's very attractive and they're going to benefit in the long run from that standpoint. And so I help small to medium-sized organizations adopt those same principles and practices into their organizations so that they always have quality talent and the talent's not constantly turning over. It's being retained by the organization.
Yeah, that makes sense. And a company would be crazy not to hire somebody like you, even if they think that everything is smooth, everything is running, operated. All it takes is one person to start sexually harassing somebody, discriminating, or become a bully. And I remember reading, studying, I always like researching. I think the average cost to replace a person, employee, is about $75,000. Of course, it could be lower, could be higher, but it is very costly. A company loses time, production. It really does affect everything. And then the bystander who's seeing all this going on, also it affects them. Do you get contacted, Ryan, by employees? I know you go out and do consulting and coaching and mm-hmm. all this leadership development, but do you ever get employees that contact you one way or the other, and they're saying, I'm being bullied, you know, by my boss at XYZ company?
Oh, yes. And so I had mentioned that I support people in career transition, and I oftentimes have people calling me and saying, you know, I love what I do, but I hate the environment in which I'm working. Mm-hmm. You know, can you help me find a new place, a new environment that really values what I have to offer? And it's a crying shame, but you'd be surprised how many of my clients sing that same song and that, you know, have that same experience. And it goes back to the fact that we don't quit jobs, we quit bosses. And so, you know, that's the environment that they're dealing with, is it has become toxic due to certain personalities and relationships. And so I have many people calling out to me, as a matter of fact, and saying, you know, here's what I'm dealing with. And I have people that, you know, say, I'm not sure I want to be in career transition, but maybe you can coach me through this situation. Maybe you can tell me, how can I sit down and have a constructive dialogue with my boss that doesn't ruin our relationship, mm-hmm. but I really have grave concerns here, and I don't know how to have that conversation. So consulting on that level is something that I'm comfortable in doing as well.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes the right thing to do is for an employee to leave a company that's toxic or the leadership is toxic, because they're never going to change it. Have you ever had any kind of consulting or coaching with an employee to become an entrepreneur?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, I have. And I'm working with someone right now in that capacity. 30 years in restaurant management. And as we know that the restaurant management, that I tell you, that kind of an industry is a fast-paced, high burnout. Mm-hmm. And it really entails a great deal of scheduling and cycles. This person has told me, Ryan, I'm basically burnt out, but I love cooking and I love connecting with people. So we're in the process right now of envisioning her new project and what that's going to look like. So that's been a lot of fun to really coach people through the entrepreneurship role too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited you do that. And I've encouraged people too to become entrepreneurs, because it doesn't matter what age you are. Some people just need a little mentoring. They might need, you know, a business plan to put together. But there's no reason for anybody to stay in a job that they hate, or they're in the wrong career field or something like that. So I'm glad you're going out there and you're helping people like that. So tell me about a real big success story for you, or something you felt was very successful with your work.
Okay. Goodness. You know, I would say that the thing that makes my heart sing the loudest, Dawn, is when I get a call from one of my career transition clients saying, Ryan, not only did I get the job, you know, not only did I get the interview, I got the job, they're paying me 15% more, and I've got my confidence back again.
Oh, that's, you know, a big one.
Mm-hmm. When I hear that combination of things, I mean, that's the sweet spot for me. And, you know, I could truly live on that for about 2 weeks. You know,
that's
it
wonderful.
Makes me sore. So that's a really big win. And I can see the direct impact of what I'm doing. From a training and leadership standpoint, it's when I'm working with supervisors at any level, and I get the feedback from the training of, man, no one has ever trained us like this. No one has ever sat down and talked with us like this. No one has ever said these kind of principles in this way that we could grab a hold of them and start applying them the very next day in our work environment. Mm-hmm. And that has made all the difference. And when I hear that, I know I'm getting somewhere. I know I'm really having an impact.
Mm. That's wonderful. So we need to duplicate you. We need to have more people out there helping the public and letting them know that they do have options. What's in your
Well,
future?
it, you know,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as you had mentioned at the beginning, it's not always an easy sale. We've got to hit land on the ears of the people that are willing to take action, and you know, maybe convince a few of the folks that are on the fence too. So it's more, it's like you and more of us, people like you and I, talking about these things and making it a safe environment to really be vulnerable and explain some of the experiences that we've had and how they didn't have to go that way and how we can do better the next time.
Absolutely. I've worked on the front side and the back side of bullying and discrimination. And I know that when people get involved in EEO cases, discrimination, retaliation cases, I mean, it can tie up a company, an organization for years and years. And it's a lot of paperwork, it's a lot of investigation. I know I've worked it myself to help clients. And it's something that nobody really wants to go down. So I hope people are listening in will reach out to you for advice, coaching, consulting. Ryan, what's in the near future for you? What project are you working on? Any new goals you have?
So as a matter of fact, I'm partnering with a local leadership arts organization, and what they do is they teach leadership concepts through hands-on art projects. So I'm working with them to formulate a leadership conference of sorts, and we're in the infancy of building that right now, and we're really trying to focus in on the softer side of leadership. And what I mean is the self-introspection that is so necessary of leaders to truly examine how they lead and what their leadership posture is and how they want that to affect those around them. So that's a really exciting project that we're going to be working on in the very near future.
Well, that's really exciting. And again, I'm proud for you because anybody who's out there helping in companies to have healthier and respectful, environments, they've got my attention and my appreciation and gratitude. I have really appreciate talking to you today, Ryan. So for the listening folks that are wanting to know how to get a hold of you, how are the many ways that they can get a hold of you and contact you?
Well, I invite everyone to visit my website at www.hrevolutionllc.com. This website, as is most websites, it's a work in progress. I'm always adding new content and new information for folks. So that's a dynamic process, and encourage people to continue to check back. I'm also on LinkedIn, and people can find me at Ryan McShane. And I also have a Facebook page as well, which is HR Evolution LLC. And if anyone wants to email me, you're more than welcome to do so at rmcshane, MCSHANE, at hrevolutionllc.com.
That's awesome. And how can they get a hold of your blogs? Is that on your website?
Yes, they're on my website as well.
Awesome. Well, you're a good example of a great HR person. I'm so glad to talk to you today. To our listening folks, please reach out to Ryan if you need help, whether you're an employee or a company or organization. Ryan's doing great things. To everyone, have a good day and stay empowered. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.